Thank you, Brother Lou. Brethren, Brother Bill is going to discourse today on the subject aromatherapy. Aromatherapy. Brother Lord, may the Brother Bill, may the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Darcy.
Your video.
It's a joy for Sister Donna and myself to be with all of you, and the Lord has provided this marvelous medium so that we can meet together. Aromatherapy. We'd like to just read a brief description of aromatherapy. And of course, we're going to be drawing some spiritual lessons from this, but just a brief description of what's behind this. Aromatherapy is the art and science of using pure essential oils to relax, balance, and stimulate body, mind, and spirit. Pure essential oils are the quintessential expression of a plant and its environment. The oils are formed by aromatic plants through the process of photosynthesis that combines nutrients from the earth, air, water, and sunshine together with the plant's own unique properties. Essential oils are a potent form of the plant's healing power. Inhalation energizes the olfactory nerves, which in turn stimulates the limbic system. The limbic system is a seat of emotions and memory. This is why aromas are often described by what they remind us of. Limbic system, aromas affect the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, helping to regulate bodily functions and the chemical balance within the body. Now, this description was taken from a website that sells these essential oils. So the truth of these claims remains open to perhaps more objective scrutiny. Brethren, we are not endeavoring to advocate or recommend use of or the avoidance of aromatherapy. We are merely keen off of this form of natural health practice to reveal some spiritual lessons for the new creation. In order to release these aromatic oils, it is obvious the plant must undergo some type of extraction process. It may be by boiling, crushing, cutting, baking, peeling, pressing, shredding, or a combination of these. But what about the spiritual application? We find in this process two major players. The plant, which is processed to extract its aromatic oils, and the other player is the individual who benefits from inhaling the aroma of the plants, of these essential oils from the plant. Let's now consider some spiritual application from this imagery. Who would we liken to the plant itself? First of all, at the head of the list is our Lord. During his ministry at the first advent of our Lord's first advent, his character was perfected in the crucible of experience. Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or matured through sufferings. Then we, as new creatures, as we seek to follow Christ in his footsteps, the time frame for this processing is during their walk in the narrow way of sacrifice, the age of sacrifice, a period of time when they are drinking the cup of experience. Then who would be the benefactor? Who would be blessed by the aroma produced? At the head of this list is Jehovah himself. Brethren, just think about this. Being pleasing to our Father in heaven, having this awareness that our sacrifice, our little mite, our little sacrifice as a part of Christ is a sweet smelling savor to the Creator of the universe. This gives new meaning and emphasis to Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, heartily as to the Lord. Also, on this list are fellow new creatures. As we give of our time, energy, and lives to serve and encourage them. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Also 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And next on the list is our personal benefit, realizing that it is this extraction process that we each as individual go through that gains us entrance beyond the veil. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ, of Jesus Christ. So with this background, the outline for our study is in two basic parts. The first part will be keying off some scriptures from the New Testament. We'll learn there that it is really Christ's sacrifice, and this is emphasized in several ways. We'll consider the mutual benefit as a sweet savor when we sacrifice to serve one another. We'll also learn that there can be very negative reactions to these aromas. And we'll conclude with one text from the New Testament that will introduce us to the second part of our study when we consider the types of the Old Testament, the incense of the tabernacle. So first, let's consider some New Testament scriptures. throughout this discussion, note how many different times the scriptures emphasize that it is Christ's sacrifice. Only as we are in Christ, only by the virtue of his merit can the aroma have its desired effect. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 1. But be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. In the following text, note how sacrifice in service to one another as well is likened to a sweet fragrance pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Philippians 4, verse 18. But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Paul here was in prison, likely in Rome. Such a generous, sacrificing spirit as was demonstrated by the Christian saints at Philippi is worthy of emulation. Our sacrifices for one another not only are of mutual benefit, but Paul counts them as pleasing aroma unto Jehovah himself. This next text shows how one act of sacrifice resulting in a sweet aroma was received in two drastically different ways. John 12, verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Our Lord was delighted and comforted by Mary's tender, sweet gesture of her devotion to him. Judas, on the other hand, was quite offended. He considered only the economics. Going back to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, we read verse 14 and the first part of 15. We'll consider 15 and 16. These also show that the fragrance of our sacrifice will be perceived in drastically different ways. 2 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16, and I'll read this from the English Standard Version. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Verse 16, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Those who are caught up in the world and feeling the sentence of death have trouble comprehending a life that sacrifices itself for others. To them, it is a senseless dying. Whereas we, knowing of their coming salvation in the mediatorial phase of Christ's kingdom, rejoice in the hope that is set before us. We are striving to become Christ-like, members of his body, following in the footsteps of his selflessness. Our experiences are helping us gain the skills to be a part of that mediator. One final text from the New Testament. This text actually serves as a bridge and an introduction to the next portion of our lesson, which draws heavily from Old Testament types. There, we will consider in more detail the incense that was used in the tabernacle services. Revelations 8, verses 3 and 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayer of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Here, the angel is performing the service of the high priest as he collects the burning coals from the brazen altar. This is the altar of sacrifice in the court where the vital parts of the burnt offering and the sin offerings were consumed. The coals are placed in the censer and in his hands are filled, or his hands are filled with a very special, unique incense. The angel then enters the sanctuary of the holy to place the coals upon the golden incense altar and release the sweet-smelling fragrance. The angel here is the risen Lord and our sympathetic high priest. The incense is the acceptable perfection of our faithful Lord, his perfect obedience, his own personal merit and worthiness before God. The moral virtues and qualities possessed by Christ were pictured as beaten small in the crucible of experience, the work of the apothecary, so that no lumps or unevenness would mar the glorious blending of a harmonious whole, even the supremacy of his model character. As we hear the phrase in this verse that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints, a new depth of meaning is imparted to such texts as 1 John 15, verse 16. Gospel of John. Right. Thank you.
Sorry.
It's good having my wife next to me. I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. And 1 John 2:1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So this key relationship with Christ is exemplified once again. This phrase is a marvelous indicator of our share in the sin offering. It is only as we follow in Christ's steps of sacrifice. It is only as we allow our character to become like his. It is only as we merge into his body to be invisible ministers of the new covenant. Only then can our prayers be carried by the smoke of his incense and heard by divine ears. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What a marvelous hope. Now we're going into the second part of our lesson, and we're going to be looking at the incense used in the tabernacle. When was this incense offered? Well, one time we're all familiar with is the Day of Atonement, recorded in Leviticus 16:12-13. The blood, or blood, was brought in twice. First the bullocks, and then the goats. But incense is only mentioned and associated with the bullocks' blood. Again, emphasizing, we add nothing to the value of his sacrifice. It is only by the mercy and grace of Jehovah that we have a share to be a part of the mediator class. The other time that incense was offered is the morning and evening sacrifices recorded in Exodus 30:7-8. This is when Aaron would dress the lamps in the morning, and again when he would light the lamps in the evening. So there is a close association of incense being offered along with lamps being trimmed and giving forth light. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Or we could say he trims every son he has adopted into his family. For, and as we read in 2 Corinthians 4:6, and we're reading from Weymouth, for God, who said, out of darkness let light shine, is he who has shone on our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory, which is radiant upon the face of Christ. a quote from Tabernacle Shadows, pages 116 and 117. So our high priest is daily filling us more and more with the mind of Christ and trimming off the dross of the old nature, the wick through which the Holy Spirit operates. Now we would like to consider in more detail the ingredients of the incense. This is recorded for us in Exodus 30, verses 34 through 36. Exodus 30, 34 through 36. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, sacte, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. Let's look at each one of these ingredients. First, stacte. This ingredient represents faith. Comes from the Hebrew word natoph, N-E-T-A-P-H, to drop, a droplet. Most dictionaries equate stacte with myrrh, especially in the form of drops or tears, which represent its purest form. It represents abiding faith. Faith that possesses elements of trust, confidence, and hope. More than a mere intellectual belief, but rather it is that heart appreciation of God, whom it has found to be its comfort and solace in all of the bitter and trying experiences of life. Jesus called attention to what mighty deeds could be performed by its possession, even in a mustard seed amount. Matthew 17:20 and Luke 17:6. A small quantity, just a drop of pure myrrh, will go a long way. From Brother Fry, surely a faith that will manifest its trust in God when undergoing severe trial cannot help but inspire all who are called upon to witness it. Thus does its fragrance cling to the garments and permeate the very atmosphere through which it moves. How often have others breathed in the fragrance of faith as it was emitted in some deep sorrow or trial of life, when, like Job of old, declared, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job 13:15. The word natoph is translated drop several times. In many cases, it is closely associated with the word of God. It had reference to both the judgment and the refreshing of his word. And certainly it is the word of God that gives our faith substance. Hebrews 11:1. Two texts use this word to show how God will be a refreshing in the kingdom. Such texts vitalize the hope of our faith. First it's Joel 3:18. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. And the next text sounds familiar to me. Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seeds, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. From Brother Magison, sweet wine, no more fermentation, but pure grape juice, symbolically true doctrine, pure message of hope and health and life. The next ingredient is Anika. This ingredient represents love. The Hebrew word shekeleth refers to a scale or shell, and it comes from the aromatic mussel. The pulverized shell of a mollusk, when burned, emits a pungent aromatic odor from the combustion of the animal matter which it contains. This second ingredient corresponds to love, the purely altruistic, selfless, agape love, whose fragrance is evidenced in its quality of suffering long, yet still being kind in its dealings. Such love cannot emanate from a heart self-protected with a hard shell of past hurts. But as the crucible of experience, along with growing trust in God's provision and strength, that shell breaks down, and the tender heart underneath can shed its sweet savor of kindness, sympathy, and service. It is the love which moves us to lay down life itself in the service of our brethren, and ultimately for the benefit of all of mankind. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In the light of this text, the fact that of the four spices, only this one involves the combustion of animal matter rather than vegetable, takes on special meaning for us. Our third ingredient is galbanum. And the Hebrew word here is kelbena, and it refers to an odorous gum. From the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary, it is a gum resin with a pungent balsamic odor. which when mixed with other fragrant ingredients has the effect of increasing the odor and fixing it longer. Here is represented the element of obedience. An obedience that is guided and prompted by the knowledge of God's plans as revealed in His Word. An obedience that is learned and perfected through experience and sufferings. Can we see how these elements are working together, one building upon the other and enhancing one another? Faith gives us the confidence and trust for the heart to shed its shell. As a heart opens, it can give selflessly in love, actions and service prompted by the hope of faith. And all of these are in harmonious obedience to the Word of God, as it reveals for us His will. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here, this text is highlighting the fact that obedience really begins in the thought process. It is not just our external action. So as we gain understanding of, cherish, and remain in close harmony with God's Word, and as the expression of His will, as our minds are thus transformed, our thoughts will lead to actions of obedience.
2 Corinthians 10. You said 2 Corinthians 10.
It's 2 Corinthians. That text that I read was 2 Corinthians 10. Now we're going to 2 Corinthians 7, verses 13 and 15. Thank you, my dear. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all, and his inward affection is more abundant to you, while he remembereth the obedience of you all. Those who received and provided for Titus in trustful cooperation with Paul left an indelible fragrance clinging to Titus, which most likely provided encouragement for the remainder of his ministry. Paul was in turn comforted and rejoiced. So we can see how the obedient acts of service to others can have a lasting effect upon the lives of many. Our fourth ingredient is frankincense. This corresponds to praise. Here the Hebrew word is levona, referring to its whiteness of frankincense, or perhaps that of its smoke. The gum is obtained from a flower bearing tree found in Arabia. It grows upon almost bare marble rocks, deriving its sustenance from these. The gum is obtained from incisions and is very valuable. The first incision yields a milk-white substance that exudes quite freely. With subsequent incisions, the resonance takes on a golden hue, and this is its most prized form. It is also used as an antidote for poison. Frankincense corresponds to praise and thanksgiving, a praise that arises from the soul, which, in the midst of trial or difficulty, recognizes that all things work together for its good, and that the trial or difficulty is God's will concerning it. A praise that is declared from the heart. A praise that rises with ever greater meaning and sincerity as years of incisive experiences matures and readies one character for divine service. Again from Brother Fry. Often one's attitude of praise to Jehovah will react like a medicine to cure another's thoughts of bitterness and self-pity. And such thoughts do come at time to each and every one of us to rob us of our peace with God. Any thought which thus deprives us of the joy we should ever be having with Him is a poison, for which the praise of Jehovah for all of His goodness towards us is the best antidote. That ends that quote. What a resource, dear brethren, this is for us to redirect our thoughts to the goodness, the chesed, the loving kindness, the wisdom of Jehovah. And by so doing, we put into perspective, thus we purge out the poison of bitterness and self-pity. Psalms 35, verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Hebrews 13, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 13, 14, 15. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So there are the four spices. But maybe, just maybe, there's a possible fifth ingredient. Back in verse 35 of Exodus 30, it mentioned these spices were tempered together. The word for tempered is machlech, and it means to rub to pieces or pulverize. And it can also mean to season with salt or rub with salt. One possible understanding of tempered then refers to the ingredients being refined to a fine powder and evenly mixed so each would enhance the others. So these four qualities of character, cannot act alone, nor can any one be missing for the incense to have its proper effect. This is the art of the apothecary. Our Lord, as he refines our character and readies this embryo new creature for its spiritual birth. On the as a second consideration, if tempered refers to the inclusion of thought in the processing of the incense, then two suggestions are offered. One, the significance of salt as a preservative implies that every saint of God offers incense of faith, love, obedience, and praise. Each must take diligent heed that these graces never be allowed to become stale. Or, if salt as a fifth ingredient, it can have a very special, another very special meaning to us. Five can denote divine grace. It is 4 plus 1, the attributes of Jehovah, plus God adding his gifts and blessing to the work of his hands. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, incense, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So in conclusion, dear brethren, we have learned how our life, as our life is consumed, as it goes through the crucible of experience, how the work of the apothecary has its aromatic effect upon others. We've noted in several different ways the emphasis on this process being the sacrifice of Christ. We add no value. How our prayers and deeds rise with the fragrance of Christ's sacrifice and are pleasing to our very heavenly Father, the creator of the universe. It only counts to the extent that we are transformed into the image of Christ. The ingredients of the tabernacle incense and how they correspond to faith, love, obedience, and praise. Brother Robert Kirkham gave me the acronym of FLOP, F-L-O-P, phrase, love, obedience, and praise. How these graces enhance each of the others as they blend together, each being essential. How the divine grace is added to the workmanship of the apothecary as a surety of our faith. And we'd like to offer just one more text alluding to the incense of our prayer life. Psalms 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Brethren, we have said little specifically concerning prayer. And prayer is so important. prayer is the means of expressing our faith, our love, our praise to the Heavenly Father. And prayer is an act of obedience. So we would like to offer a poem in closing, and it's called The Privilege of Prayer. We thank thee, Father, that we may pray, and we seek thy presence day by day. Take thee the burdens we can't bear, and come away and leave them. Leave them there. Like little children in a storm, can take thy hand without alarm. When faith seems weak and trials severe, to feel that thou art always near. These things are for our good, we know, for thine own word has told us so. We want our prayers always to be an incense very sweet to thee, prayed as our Lord and Master taught, with purity of heart and thought. Not for requests, but to adore and praise thy name forevermore. For thou art hast called us by thy grace to share thy throne and see thy face. So help us each our vows fulfill and pray according to thy will. May the Lord have his blessing. Back to you, Brother Darcy.